Last week we started talking about when you're in a fight, and just the reality of realizing that we are in a fight. We are in a spiritual battle, that there are times where we feel it more than others, but the Bible teaches us that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And this morning we're going to continue talking about that fight a little bit. Just wanted to do a follow-up to that in a different light, in a different sense. But I want to be encouragement to you today. I want you to walk away today knowing that God is with me, that God is my great help, and redirecting our attention, as we talked about last Sunday. You know, it's amazing to see right now what's happening in our world, that our world has come to a complete halt, a complete stop over a virus that can only be seen under a microscope. It's amazing how there is just a sense of, wow, there's something big and evil on the earth, and it has caused the whole world to be on pause. And it's amazing that that little thing that we can't even see with our eyes has caused the world to stop. And you know, this is so true, spiritually speaking as well, that there is a spiritual battle happening. There is a fight that all of us are in that, one, we may not even be able to witness with our eyes, but it is happening around us all the time. And when I thought about this a little bit more and prayed about this, I was reminded immediately of the story of a servant who worked with Elisha. The Bible talks about, you know, Elijah, a great prophet, and Elisha, his spiritual son or mentor, or the mentee, that Elijah mentored along, one that God used in a great way and great miracles in the land, and just amazing to see what God did through the life of Elisha. A double portion, he asked, of what Elijah had. And as Elisha was one day, of course, as being a prophet, there was always threats, there was always people who were trying to stop and come against them. But one day, Elisha's servant woke up one morning and came outside and noticed that he was surrounded by an army of horses and chariots all around him. And he went back inside and told Elisha what was happening. And Elisha made a simple prayer, a prayer that was just exactly what that young man needed, just exactly what was speaking into his life at that time. And he prayed this. Or rather, he told the young man and then prayed. He said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see." The Bible teaches that the things which are seen, the things that we witness with our eyes, they are temporary. But the things which are unseen are eternal. They're the things that go on. They're happening all around us all the time. And this was certainly the case of Elisha and this young servant, was that they realized that there was a battle happening. And though there was horses and chariots, a physical army surrounding them, God opened the servant's eyes to see that there was an army of horses, of chariots, of fire all around them, the armies of heaven surrounding them. You know, when he was afraid of the armies surrounding him, Elisha prayed, "God, open his eyes that he could see. Open his eyes that he could see." And you know, one of the things that we got to talk about when you're in a fight is we've got to get to the place where we have a greater spiritual awareness, a greater awareness of what is going on around us, a sensitivity in a way. You know, it's true that oftentimes our awareness of darkness is often greater than our awareness of God. And you know, it makes you ask the question, why is that? Why is it that I can sense sometimes a great fight around me, but oftentimes I don't sense God is with me? And you know, I want to just point out to you that the Bible teaches that when the enemy comes in, he comes in like a flood. And you know, a thing about a flood doesn't come to your front door and knock and say, "Hello, can I come in?" The flood just rushes right in. And this is the same way the enemy works, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, it permeates everywhere around us. It doesn't ask permission. It doesn't stop where, here, go there. No, it just floods. It just pours right in. And this is so true of our spiritual life as well, that when you are going upstream, that when you're in the fight of the Christian faith, as Paul calls it, the battle of pressing onward to the prize of Christ Jesus, when you're in that fight, you're going upstream. You're going in a battle that you surely will feel the opposition. And so this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this battle, this fight that we're in. Although we're surrounded by whatever armies they may be, God has surrounded us with a greater army, the host of heaven. And as John teaches us, that there's one greater in us than that is in the world. And so this morning, I want you to read with me today. We're going to read the story on the life of an unusual man in the Bible, but a beautiful story of God's redemption in his life in Matthew chapter 16. I often preach about Peter, and I believe I preach about Peter a lot because many times I see his failures, I see his mistakes, and I see, basically I feel a lot of times I'm looking at a mirror because I realize, oh my goodness, here is a guy who made so many mistakes, so many mess ups, but yet God used his life in a mighty way. And there's a very unusual kind of scenario that plays out in Peter's life, and we're going to talk about a few things that happened in Peter's life this morning, but I want you to read with me in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. The Bible says that from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But Peter, he pulled Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that for a moment? Here is Peter pulls Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty God, aside and begins to rebuke him, saying this. He says, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never to happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now imagine this for a moment. And just the previous verses, if you go back and read that sometime, is a beautiful passage of Scripture, because in this moment, God opens Peter's eyes to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one that they've been waiting for. And Jesus even looks at Peter and says, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you." So in one moment, we have a moment where Jesus is blessing Peter, but in the next moment, we have another moment where Jesus is rebuking Peter. It's an uncertain, it's a crazy, just kind of outplay of events happening here. But notice here that Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a follower of Jesus, I've been spending a lot of time with him, and Jesus turns around and looks at me and says, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't know how I would have taken that. If I would have had a great self-esteem drop in that time. And I'm sure Peter did as well. But Peter was wrestling through some things. Peter was battling. Peter was, once again, was in this fight that we're all talking about. But notice what Jesus told Peter as he said to him, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. I want to talk to you about this for a few minutes this morning, that when you're in the fight, when you're in the fight, we talked about the box that the enemy tries to put us in last week, surrounded by all of these different tactics of the enemy, the box, the boxing ring, if you will, that kind of temptation and trial the enemy tries to bring against us, the distractions, the discouragement, the deceit, the doubt, all of those different things playing against us, the condemnation, all of those things the enemy's trying to use. We talked about how that box is ultimately put there, that all of those things are meant to try to distract us from God, are meant to try to get God out of our focus and out of our vision in our life. And you know, I want to tell you something about the enemy this morning. Is the enemy would love nothing more. The enemy, Satan himself, would love nothing more than to distract us, than to pull us aside, than to try to push us away from beholding God in our sight, and do exactly what Peter was doing, and putting our eyes on the things of man and not on the things of God. You know, Peter would go on, and this wasn't the last time that he would be stuck in this similar situation. We would go on and later we'll see Peter that when Jesus is arrested, in the moment, he pulls out his sword and he cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And Jesus once again tells him, you don't need to do this. What are you doing? If I needed your help, I could have called a league of angels from heaven. Once again, Peter, he was setting his eyes on the things of man, but not on the things of God. That wasn't the last time. The next time was the most hurtful, the most just really downcasting of what Peter was going to go through, was when Peter would be surrounded by a group of people and they would say, there's one of Jesus's disciples. And Peter would say, I don't know no Jesus. I don't know who you're talking about. And three times would deny Jesus right there in front of the crowd. Once again, Peter had got his focus out of sight. He was out of focus. He began to set his eyes on the things of man, but not on the things of God. And this is a lesson. This is a lesson and a warning to every believer that if we're not careful, if we're not on guard, we can get our minds focused on the wrong thing, which is in opposition to the purpose and plan of God. If we're not careful, we'll get the image of God and seeking God out of our face. We'll begin to focus on the wrong things. We'll begin to focus on man instead of God. We'll begin to focus on the things of the world instead of God himself. And this is one of the things the enemy wants to do, is he wants to take our attention and get us out of sight. That when we're in the fight, he wants us to lose focus. 1 John says it this way, that if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you hear that? That if we have fellowship, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. We've got to make sure this morning and make sure in our lives as believers that we're not walking in fellowship with the world. We're not walking and saying we're walking in fellowship with Jesus, but yet we've got our minds set on the things of this world. Galatians teaches it this way. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. Here's something we all need to know today, is that the flesh and the Spirit, they are opposed to each other. They're in opposition. They are fighting against each other. Jesus said it best himself, that the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. That is the nature of both, that they are in opposition against each other. And we've got to be on guard on the tactics of the enemy. The enemy would love nothing more than to get us focused on being divided, focused on backbiting, focused on gossip, focused on being sowers of discord, focused on idleness, wanderers, wandering away from the truth, being focused on having itching ears, being focused on conceitedness and being proud, being focused on being greedy, unbelief, or haughty eyes before us, even focused on having what Paul calls the appearance of godliness, but denying the power. It's all the things that are going to be contrary to the Spirit, that we've got to learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, not in a world that is appeasing this flesh. You know, as Jesus taught Peter, it's amazing here that when Jesus told Peter, he says, you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus began to teach them immediately after that, that if anyone's going to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. You know, one of the things that's important in keeping our focus upon God is that we have to deny ourselves, is that we've got to deny what our flesh wants. We've got to deny what our human nature wants to do. You know, we've got to keep in mind what's pleasing to God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness is pleasing to God. Faith is pleasing to God. Asking for wisdom is pleasing to God. All the things that the enemy would like to distract us with, those are not pleasing to God, obviously. Those are things that are distracting us. Those are things that are drawing our attention away from God himself. If you read through 1 or 2 Timothy, you'll notice that Paul is teaching Timothy that in the last day, there's going to be this rise in godlessness. There's going to be people who, they're going to be deceitful. They're going to be lovers of money, lovers of themselves, all of those different things. And those are the things, as he begins to teach them, those are things we've got to be on guard and on the lookout for, that we don't get distracted and pulled away with. All of those things. Listen here today. When we become a people that are beholding God, we've got our eyes and we're focused on the things of God and not focused on the things of man. We will be passionate and zealous about the things that God is concerned about and not the things that the enemy is concerned about. Listen, if you are beholding God as your God and you are loving him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the things that are distracting to us, the gossip, the backbiting, the conceitedness, the selfishness, all of those things, they're not going to matter to you anymore. You're not going to do that anymore. Listen, a lukewarm Christian cannot at the same time be lukewarm and passionate about God. It just can't happen. But somebody who is loving God with all of their heart, somebody who is pursuing after God with everything they've got, is going to be somebody who has their mind on the things of God. I've always been just had this quote by a man named Thomas Merton. I've saved it in one of these quotes I review often, that he says this, that to consider persons and events and situations only in light of their effect upon myself is to live on the doorstep of hell. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is we are in a fight against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So when somebody comes against us, when somebody hurts us, instead of taking it out on that person, what this guy is trying to tell us is that instead of taking it out on that person is to realize what you're fighting against is not a person. We're fighting against principalities and powers. So how do we get to the place like Peter? How do we get to the place where our mind is moved away from the things of man and is moved to the things of God? How do we get to the place where instead of focusing on the things that the enemy would love us to get distracted with, the things that are pleasing to the enemy, the things that delight him, you've got to be careful. How do we move from that place? It's amazing that Jesus, over and over again, as Peter is learning his lessons, lesson after lesson about this, his mistake after mistake, he goes from being called Satan, get behind me, to now he's denying Jesus, to cutting off the servant of the high priest's ear. Over and over again, and these affected Peter in a great way. And you know what happened to Peter was the Bible tells us that Peter, he went and he wept bitterly because of everything that happened. And after Jesus was crucified, he stayed in hiding for some time because of all the things that were happening. But Jesus, in his great mercy and in his great compassion and in his great love, wasn't done with Peter. Wasn't finished with what God wanted to do in Peter. That although Peter had lost sight of Jesus, and although Peter had focused on the things of man and instead of the things of God, he had lost sight. Jesus wasn't done with him. Jesus still had a plan and purpose for his life. What I want you to notice here today and through Peter's life is that when we as believers, when we are focused on the things of God, we're going to come in alignment with the plan and purpose of God for our life. But when we begin to focus on the things of man, we're going to begin to go off on trails that are not intended for us. And this is what happened to Peter. You see Peter. You see him go off on these trails. They diverted his attention. They distracted him. They pulled him away. But yet Jesus knew what Peter was experiencing. He knew what he was dealing with. And he wanted to teach him a lesson in all of this. So it's amazing that you see that after Jesus resurrected, Peter goes looking for Jesus, searching for him. He sees him on the shore of the sea as he's fishing. The Bible says that Peter jumped in the water and chased after Jesus in that moment. And in that, after that, Jesus began to speak with Peter, began to talk with him. In the verse in John chapter 21, we see this encounter that Jesus began to love on Peter a little bit, began to help him, and he began to ask him some questions. This is so important for us today, that here was Peter who had lost sight of God. Hear this today. He had lost focus of God. He began to focus on the things of man. But in this moment, Jesus came to Peter, and as he was having breakfast, he began to say to him, Peter, Simon, do you love me more than all of these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you more than these. He said, okay, well, feed my lambs. And he asked him again, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And feed my sheep. And this time Peter was grieved. The Bible says Jesus asked him again, but Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then Jesus began to talk with Peter about his purpose, his plan for his life, of what God was going to do through him. This is what I really wanted you to hear today. So Peter went from a place where he was focusing on the things of man. He was focusing on petty stuff. He was focusing on stuff that was outside of the purpose of God, things that didn't matter. But now, Jesus is trying to teach him a lesson here, that when you get back to the place, when you get back to the place, Peter, where you love me more than the rest of these, when you love me more than any of this, when you love me above all else, that is the moment where your mind has become focused on the things of God instead of the things of man. That's the moment that after Peter began to get his heart back, the position of what he loved, the moment when he got his heart back to loving God more than the things of man, when he got his heart back on loving the purpose and plan of God more than the purpose of the world and the purpose of the enemy, that was the moment that Jesus began to speak purpose and life into him. When he began to get his focus and his eyesight upon Jesus again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, God, you know that I need you. Yes, God, I will do that. God, yes, yes, yes. The answer of yes over and over and over again was what Peter was saying to Jesus, that once Jesus got his focus back to loving him above all else, that was when the purpose and plan of God began to fall in alignment in his life once again. It was as if Jesus was trying to make it plain for Peter. Three times, Peter, do you love me? And if you love me, then everything else will fall in place. If you'll behold me more than anything else in this world, if you'll get your mind on loving me more than your job, if you'll get your mind on loving me more than some bad habit, if you'll get your mind on loving me above all else, if you'll get your mind to saying that, Jesus, I just want you and nothing else. The prayer that the psalmist prayed, the kind of heart that says, whom have I have in heaven besides you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Listen, God wants us to get back to the place. Maybe you've been diverted. Your attention has been shifted away for some reason. Maybe I'm talking to a believer that once was a believer, but you've wandered away. You've been straying away for some time. You've been pulled away by some, whatever it may be. Who knows? It doesn't matter. You've been pulled away. This is a plea to you today. God is saying, if you'll get back to the place where you stop focusing on the things of man and you love me above all else, then you'll understand the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Then you'll begin to see how God loves you. And then you'll begin to see how God wants to forgive you and wrap his arms around you. It's amazing that after Peter had learned this lesson from Jesus, it's amazing to see Peter's life after that. You read throughout the book of Acts, how Peter would preach sermons, how Peter would put his hands upon people and they would be healed, the power of God working through him. And he would write some books of the Bible. And it's amazing that one of the warnings that he would write about was a warning specifically talking about what he was dealing with. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he would tell them, he would say, church, listen, this audience that he's talking to, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Who does that sound like? Somebody that was proud. That was Peter. He's telling them, don't be like me. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful because your adversary, the devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I believe if Peter was commenting a little bit more on this today, he would say, that was almost me. It was almost me. I began to set my mind on the things of man and not on the things of God. And then he begins to go on and teach them. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, hear this today. He's going to restore you. He's going to confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What an amazing reminder that in Peter's valley and Peter's fighting and Peter's lessons that he's learning, he's trying to tell the church the same thing. Watch out. Don't be like me. Resist him. He's prowling around. And I want to tell you today that is there something that the enemy is using to take your mind off of Christ? Is there something the enemy has thrown before you that's been distracting you? Maybe you've got a scuffle with somebody that you need to work out. Maybe you've got a family member that you need to forgive. Maybe you've got something that has consumed your attention more than God. Is there something that the enemy has thrown in your path that has caused you to trip up? Maybe there's something that happened years ago, years and years and years ago, and you're still holding on to it. You're still angry about something. You're still upset about something. Listen, those are things that cause us to focus on the things of man instead of the things of God. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. But instead of focusing on those things, I want to encourage you today to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Behold his beautiful face. Look to him. Don't look to that thing anymore. Don't look to that hang up anymore. Look to Jesus. Is there something you're so focused on more than Jesus? How many of us this morning, we need a fresh, renewed love for Jesus? Oh, isn't it beautiful that when somebody who loves the Lord with all of their heart, I want to pray today that we would just have a fresh baptism of love in our hearts for God, a fresh love that says, Lord, just like the psalmist, my heart and my flesh may fail, but more than all of those things, I want you, God. I want you. The kind of plea that looks up and says, Lord, I just want you. I just want you. Today, I want to pray for you. This morning, you're watching me. You're lost. You're stuck. You're in a bad place. You're in a dark situation. You're fighting. It's difficult. It's tiring. It's weary. Maybe you're consumed about something. Your attention is focused on the things of man. And you're what we've been talking about this morning. You're in a fight. I want to encourage you today and tell you that there's one whose name is greater than any other name, and his name is Jesus. And he's willing to help you today. He wants to help you get back in alignment with the plan and purpose of God for your life if you'll call upon him. Maybe you're a faithful church member. Maybe you've been going to church all your life, but something has got a hold of you lately. You've been stuck about something. You've got something you need to work out. I want to encourage you today to, instead of focusing on the things of man, to turn your eyes and say, oh God, help me today. Forgive me. Maybe you need to go make something right with somebody. Maybe you need to lay down something today. Whatever it is, all of us have got our different things today. That's not so much important as what we do with it. I want to pray for you today, that today you would live a life that instead of wandering away, God wants to call you back in. Don't be distracted. Don't let the enemy pull you away. No, he wants to call you back into his flock, put his arms around you and love you, let you know that he cares for you. Cast your cares upon him today. I want to pray this morning. If you want to begin a life of following Christ today, maybe you've been that person. I want you to pray with me today. You don't have to pray like I pray. You just tell the Lord, cry out to him from where you're at. God, I need you today. I want to focus upon you and not on this thing that has distracted me any longer. Lord, today I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh God, help us today. Lord, we know that there's one prowling who desires to distract us today. But God, would you give us a fresh love for you this morning? Would you help us, God, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, mind, and strength today? For that person who has wandered away from you, God, I pray today that you would bring them back home. Let them know, God, you love them. You have a plan for their life. It's not over. You have great things you want to do for them, but let them get their focus back on you, God, today. God, I thank you for the life of Peter, who taught us that, yes, you can still make mistakes. Yes, we can have mess-ups and failures. But if we'll come back to you, if we'll put our eyes upon you, you'll take care of it from there. I pray today that maybe someone needs to pray a prayer of forgiveness, God, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness, God. I thank you today. God, I pray, let us set our minds on the things of God today to behold the glory and majesty of Christ in our lives every day before us. And God, I bless you. I honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. We want to let you know today that if you've prayed a prayer to begin following Christ, if you need help in your new journey of following Christ, please go online and fill out one of our Connect cards or text hello ANC to 97000. We would just love to be able to help you in this journey. Maybe you're watching from another state. That's okay. You can still connect with us to find maybe a local church once all of this is over that you can join and be a part of. But we want you to know that God loves you. God has a plan for your life, and we want to help you on your new journey. And this morning, any brother or sister in Christ, if you need prayer today, you need somebody to just come alongside you, please feel free to call our prayer team this morning. They'd love to pray with you. You can go online as well. We want to thank you so much for watching today and joining us online for church online.